Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
And what's up, everybody? What's going on? Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. This is Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode, episode 28 of Destruction 101. 28. That means 7 months worth of this shit. Is that accurate? I'm glad I've stayed consistent. Other one hiccup week. I mean, we've been pretty much rolling the entire time. What's going on, everybody? I hope everybody's enjoying their week. It's a little awkward for me to do this because I'm recording this on the Friday before all this releases. So this is like 1, 2, 3, 4. This is like 4 or 5 days in advance. So, but there's a lot to talk about because a lot of things just went down. First and foremost, my plugs, WrestlePROOnline.com for all your tickets and information and roster and videos and statistics and all sorts of cool shit. Go check out WrestlePROOnline.com. We just came off an amazing event last night. I'll get into that in a minute. But we're going to start off by plugging them. Our next show on our summer tour is August 10th. It's a Thursday night in Staten Island, New York. So unfortunately, you're going to have to pay the toll in addition to the ticket sales. But it all goes to a good cause because it is going to the NYPD. The New York City Co-ops, or as Chris Payne likes to call them, Co-ops. So it's a benefit. It's a fundraiser. It's a great cause and a great thing that WrestlePros has attached themselves to. Matter of fact, me and Chris might actually sit down and put together the card. So a little bit of booking 101 to follow. So that's something we discussed last night when I saw him and the boys over in Allentown, New Jersey. And like I said, I'll get into that in a minute. Coming up shows, unfortunately, I had to, you know, it's not a frequent thing that I pull off all these shows. It really isn't. I love this shit and I love everything I do, but I will not be at the Five Borough Wrestling Show that's going to go down. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, it's actually happening tomorrow night. Go check them out, though. It's in Brooklyn, New York. Please go check them out. Support Five Borough Wrestling. My boy Troy Alexander, a good dude over there. And whoever replaces me in commentary, that's fine and dandy. I know they're not as good as me, but hey, listen. It is what it is. I digress. But yeah, so what do we have? Oh, yeah. So the following day, I am going to be back behind the broadcast table with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, should be Pete Rosato, if I'm not mistaken, or it could be Mark Adam Haggerty or guest spots like Falaba. I have no idea. But the BBWF is back at the Edison Hotel, the E Hotel. That's the hotel with the fucking huge E on it. You can go check them out. No venue change this time. It's happening there. So go check them out. Support independent wrestling. And that's what a lot of people did last night in Allentown, New Jersey. I said last night, but it was last Thursday. As you're listening to this, it was a great show. But the old weather bug affected another Pat Buck show. I mean, I've been with Pat since day one, 5 years ago, and every time we're trying to promote something relatively big and new, we get slammed with something, whether it be Hurricane Sandy, or whether it be Winter Storm, what was it, back in 2013, Nemo, was it? I don't know, it was a snowstorm. We had a reroute land storm like fucking 13 times to try to get into Jersey to face Jerry Lynn and Jerry Lynn's last New Jersey professional wrestling match. I was there. I was a part of that. I actually wrestled Mr. Belding that night. Yes, that Mr. Belding. Yeah, so the weather bug has never been a fan of pro wrestling, or at least a fan of Pat Buck. I don't know what Pat did. I mean, he makes light of it. We all make light of it because Thursday was, it was a success. I think, you know, when towns reach out to us, and which you can do and find out, contact me, contact Ace, Dylan Stiffwood over on Facebook to set up a meeting with us. We can bring WrestlePro to your town. You know, the cost is based on who shows up and who's booked on as far as talent. For this show in Allentown, New Jersey, at the Freedom Fest, we had Cody Rhodes and the big guy Ryback and Swoggle. One thing, you know, not too many fans were in the know, but Ryback had actually, I just talked to him the day before about spreading the news more about his nutrition line, Feed Me More Nutrition. You can find that, feedmemore.com. But his nutrition line, I want to get involved with the with my high school team. These kids are 15, 16, 17 years old. They're very, obviously, they're still underdeveloped. You want to start them on protein early. I wish at 17 years old I knew what protein was. You know, you get it in your foods. Well, I don't, because I don't eat meat. But this is when everybody's like tunes out. Like, wait, what did he say? He doesn't eat meat? No, I do not eat meat. I stopped eating meat when I was 8 years old. Anyway, trying to get the Feed Me More Nutrition line to Franklin High School so these kids can start, you know, replenishing their muscles and growing as humans. I mean, we need a bigger team. I mean, it's just the way it is. You need a big team. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But anyway, so I talked to Ryback the night before. I sent him a text and I talked to him about it. But he said he was just coming off a stem cell procedure on his back. So that would keep him out of action last night, Thursday night. I don't know. Who gives a fuck? You know what I'm talking about. It would keep him out of action as far as wrestling is concerned. So he came out, cut a promo. Well, he did his meet and greet in the beginning. He came out, cut a promo, did the Feed Me More thing, got everybody jazzed up. So it was great to see him there. Cody Rhodes got there early, and he looked around this place. And let me tell you, let me paint the picture. If you weren't there, it's a barn. It was a legit barn. If you've ever seen Ready to Rumble, when they're trying out to be the Kings, like, you know, I guess, posse, it's a barn. And like, but obviously, we have a real professional wrestling ring, not a couple mattresses like they did in the movie. But, yeah, it was a barn. It had, you know, it was cool. You know, there was nothing wrong with it. There was dirt. It was dirt. I mean, look, when I first got there, I was walking around like, oh shit, you know, like I got to look for, I got to be careful. I can't step in any horse shit. I was worried. But there was no horse shit. It was cleaned up very well. But the problem was, as soon as we got there, it was a little cloudy, humid, real fucking humid. And, you know, with this set of hair that I have now, it was just a nightmare. So we got there. I got there a little late because I had to come right from school. And, you know, it was what it was. The setup was already done. And by the way, the breakdown took like no bullshit, like 25, 30 minutes. So now I can, you know, I can rest my heart saying like, oh my God, how was this setup? Was it hard? You know, it wasn't. It was, we got the whole fucking barn. So we were able to back the truck up to literally the location of the ring. So it was just an easy setup on the dirt. The ring, by the end of the night, looked like something the beach bums would love to play in. It looked like a beach. Unfortunately, like, you can't help your surroundings. I mean, we could have probably put a tarp down, but we didn't know going in. We honestly did not know what we were getting ourselves into, I don't think. And, so it comes and goes. We were excited about it, and the match, the card itself was great. I think it was put together very well. Kevin Matthews does a great job booking the show with Pat's input. We had a Freedom Fest State Battle Royal in which, what's his name, Talon won, the boy from Brooklyn. The Final Four was great. My boy Chris Steeler was in the Final Four. He was killing it as always. You know, it's really important, and I say this over and over and over again, and I said this on Facebook the other day, look the part. If you're in professional wrestling, look the fucking part. And my man Chris Steeler looks the part. He's got the great gear. He's got great look, tattoos, good head, you know, head shaved and all this, you know, his hairstyle and goatee or whatever. He just looks like a pro wrestler. And that will get you farther than looking like a trash bag and just coming out in shorts and a t-shirt and saying, I'm a fucking wrestler. I got kick pads. You know, it just doesn't work. And it's not a shot at Vinny Cenzo, a friend of mine in the business. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if that's how you started, I don't know. I don't know how to defend it. And I said it in Facebook. I said, if you're not Kevin Owens, you're not Dean Ambrose, you can't rock jeans, you can't rock jorts like Cena, you can't do it. Like, only certain people can pull it off. And I don't think that there's a good enough amount of people out there that can do this. Low Life Louis Ramos hit me up. He's like, well, I've been doing the camo shorts and the cut off. Well, Louis, you're also fucking stabbing yourself in the face with barbed wire and shit. So, I mean, it's just, that's just it, man. Like, I can't argue with that. You've been grandfathered in, I guess. Like, it's just, look the fucking part. So anyway, this back to the show. We had a great lineup. Like I said, the Freedom Fest Battle Royal went over. The loudest the crowd got was for the, what was it, the 8-man tag between the Beach Bums who teamed up with Swoggle to take on Job Security. Now, let me tell you something about Job Security. As much as they are, and if you're a WrestlePro fan, you're following along. If not, you're like, what the fuck is he talking about? Job Security was created to be Bobby Wayward, who is our current reigning defending champion at WrestlePro. They were created to basically keep his title safe, like a security team. But the security team is like a band of just misfits, brother. Like, they don't stand a chance in any match. They really don't. They're Job Security. Do the math. But last night, these guys really, really brought it. And each of them with, like, different styles of Job Security gear. They had it made for, you know, their first debut show. And I kid my, dude, clap, hands, like, standing ovation for Job Security. Especially Alex. I told him this after the show. The kid looks the part, man. He looks like a young Wade Barrett. No bullshit. Like, that's just a younger, tinier Wade Barrett. And he's got time. He's a young kid. Jimmy Controversy over on Grimm's Toy Show is one of the most over people over there. So it's good to see him translate into the real professional wrestling. That's an oxymoron, but whatever. He's transforming himself into a decent wrestler at the school. And then there's Ronnie. Ronnie was a guy that couldn't find the character for himself at first. Great wrestler, great kid. Great supporting family. I see his dad at every show. Like, just like my dad showed up at like most of my shows in the beginning. It's awesome to see him there and supporting his son. And it was just hard. Like, at first he was like, I don't remember what he was. He was just like he was like Ronald Kingsley. And he was just, and then he turned into that, like, that fucking Prince looking like motherfucker for that one battle royal. It was just hard to find him a spot. I think we found him a spot, and I think he's very, you know, he's succeeding and he's excelling. And then there's Big Malcolm, and Malcolm is a teddy bear. He's a man. But yeah, hats off to those guys. Hats off to the Bums, man. They bring the crowd. They bring the noise every time. They're embracing such a cool character, especially for the summer. You know, in the winter they might struggle. I don't know, but I'm saying with the summer and the beach and the sun's out, Bums out, blah blah blah. With all their fucking merch, they got pins and fucking, what else? They got t-shirts, tank tops, pins, I believe they have hats, they have beach balls, mini and big, like, it's great. But that match went off awesome. We had a great six-way. It was Chris Payne versus Anthony Bowens versus Dan Moff, Mary Bacara, Mike Verna, and CAQ, Christopher Avery Kuehling, and they tore the house down as well. It was just an overall good feel, a good feel show, and I'm really appreciative of the people that came out to support WrestlePro in this monsoon. And when I say monsoon, check out everybody's Snapchats and Instagrams and Facebook videos. You could see the place was flooded. Like, thank God we had a roof, because if we didn't have a roof, the show's canceled. Like, you can't just, I mean, it's, I've wrestled in the rain before, but I was on a trampoline, and it was one of the most fun experiences of my life with my best friend, God rest his soul, John, and my brother. Every time you hit the mat, the water would just fucking fly up. But yeah, it would have been that situation had we not been under a massive steel roof. But when that rain hit that steel roof, you couldn't hear shit. Like, I was the ring announcer last night, and I couldn't hear myself think, you know, when the rain was coming down hard, but it calmed down from time to time, and it was fine. Everything worked out really well. And, you know, it is what it is. I think, you know, we're still setting a tone for the rest of the summer and or fall. Like, we're on a roll right now. We are on a roll. And I firmly believe in this company. And you know what? I've been talking about not being burnt out, but just being like, holy shit. Like, reading some people's shit on social media is driving me nuts. And you know, wrestling as a whole was like, ugh, I'm so tired of it. Like, these people are just ridiculous. The negativity was just asinine. But all it takes, and this is the truth, and you know, anybody who's in the business who goes away, not goes away, but has like a little bit of a dry spell or a frustration period, and then you get back there. I got back there, and I enjoyed a night with the boys, and it was just, it resurged me, and it's something I definitely needed. because there's a lot of big things, cool things coming up for WrestlePro. I won't get into too much detail because Pat hasn't even released it, I don't think. I got to catch up on Conversation with the Big Guy. I am three behind. So that's like, shit, what is that, 9 hours worth of content? So yeah, they go long, and so I just haven't found the time, and my apologies to those guys. I mean, they got a million listens a week or whatever, so it's one less won't kill them. But I will catch up, and I will download and subscribe them on iTunes, and check them out as well. Their link is also found on WrestlePro Online, just like mine, under the listen category. So, with that being said, we're going to take a little break. A word from our sponsor, Truth and Confessions, which is a play with my friend Jeremy Thompson. He came on as a sponsor for the next couple shows, so I will be playing all of his commercials, live reads, all that good shit. But we'll be back right after this, and then we will get kicked in the head with Gino Gotz. And yeah, this is going to be very difficult to mesh all this together, but don't worry. I am I'm a guru at this kind of shit, so I will get it all done. I'll be right back right after this. Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Dave Destruction Sturcio, and I'm here to talk to you about a new passion of mine, the theater. I'm here to talk to you about an original piece called Truth and Confessions. It's an adaptation of Victor Hugo's novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Written and directed by Mark Bronchi, starring Nathaniel Barber as the ever-so-famous character, Quasimodo, Samantha Ricciuti as Esmeralda, and Michael Powell as the Archdeacon Frollo, as well as co-starring in a wide assemble of characters featuring great numbers collaborated by both the cast and band conducted by Benjamin Apple. Set in the late 15th century Paris, France, the story is a dark tale about first love, temptation, deceit, and betrayal. It's presented by the Standing Ovation Theater at the Community Education Center at 3500 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's right, the City of Brotherly Love is bringing you a brand new show. The show is only one weekend from July 27th to the 30th. Thursday to Saturday at 7:30, and a special Sunday show at 3 p.m. Tickets are just $20, and they can be ordered through brownpapertickets.com or by calling 1-800-838-3006. Trust me, folks, this is an awesome show, and I'm looking very much forward to seeing Truth and Confessions live from the City of Brotherly Love.
What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts. I'm back with number 1919. One more to number 20. Kicked in the head right here on the Destruction 101 podcast, on the B+ Player Radio, on the Shining Wizards Network, on your mother's ass. But anyway, this week, well, wasn't a great of a weekend for Mr. Gino Guts. We had a PWE show somewhere down South Jersey next to those schnooks in Philadelphia. I ever mentioned that I hate those motherfuckers? But I digress. Me and one of the bums, one of the beach bums, Mr. TJ Crawford, we hopped in the bum mobile and we set down our way down 195 to Somerville, Philadelphia, Cherry Hill, South Fuck Street. Doesn't matter. We were on our way. We're having a nice, pleasant conversation because, you know, I am one of the friendliest people on the planet. And all of a sudden, boom, his fucking tire blows up on the side of the road. Now, to give the kid some credit, he wasn't shook. He pulled right the fuck over with his jalopy, and he saved the life of Gino Gotz. So, I tipped him a buck. I sent him on his way. No, that's not what happened. This fucker calls up AAA, and, you know, very quickly, 1, 2, 3 hours later, we get the fucking tow truck. We get to fucking down to AAA. They put a fucking tire on the fucking car. And we missed the entire fucking show. Promoter? He wasn't really happy. I don't really give a fuck. What do you want me to do? My fucking tire blew up. Like, I really meant to blow up my fucking tire on the way to the show. I took off of work to get to the fucking show, so I couldn't get to the fucking show because of the fucking tire. Master fucking plan. God damn it. But we're all good. So remember, folks, you're only as good as your last envelope. So keep that hustle going, baby.
Tell me quick. Boy, in love a kick. Tell me quick. In love a kick. In the head.
Thank you, Gino Gotz, for another awesome edition of Kicked in the Head. Gino Gotch showed up to our show last week a little late, a little tardy, but ran some errands for us, which was great, and much appreciated for that, Gino. And you can find Gino online at, don't know any of his social medias, so if you plugged him, that's great. If not, sorry. But welcome back to the show. Like I said, it's great to have a sponsor on here, and it's great to use that as a platform for me to promote a little bit. And what I'm talking about is Truth and Confessions. And yes, I'm doing a live read right now, right after. I know you just heard about it, but in case you missed it, it's a play. It's a play, and I'm very excited for my boy Jeremy Thompson. He's doing great things. He's an aspiring actor, and he's a part of the Truth and Confessions adaptation of Victor Hugo's novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So the old Disney tale. Hopefully this will be a little bit, I'm assuming it's going to be a little bit darker and grittier than normal, but you can definitely check them out. 3500 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So right in the city of brotherly love, you can go check out a great show July 27th to the 30th. That's Thursday to Sunday, but Thursday through Saturday, it's at 7:30, and at Sunday, 3 p.m., brownpapertickets.com or 1-800-838-3006. Tickets just start at $20. Cheap, 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 cheap. So go check out Truth and Confessions with Jeremy Thompson and a cast of characters, all his people, aspiring actors. You know, not all, you know, great things need to be seen on Broadway. And that's the truth. I've seen a lot of stuff off Broadway, and I'm a big fan of the theater, and I wasn't always that way. It's definitely one of those things where it's a acquired taste, but I'm telling you, go check this guy out. Go check this show out. He'll be really appreciative of that. He's been a supporter of mine since day one, so why not give a little support back to my man, Jeremy Thompson. Good luck with that. So we're here now, second half of the show. I want to talk a little bit about Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Mayweather. Now, as I'm recording this, there's been three press conferences. One by Conor McGregor, landslide, 3-0. I think Mayweather, I feel like, if I had to look at this, I feel like he's very uncomfortable up there. Like, he comes up, he does the hard work, you know, he's yelling at these people, and like, I guess his following and his fans reply dedication. And then they would point to the bitch. I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck? He's not making any sense. Like, I mean, if this is like his catchphrase and stuff that he's normally done, great. But it just seems like he's lost up there. And Conor McGregor is eating him alive. And I'll be the first to say, I'm not a Conor McGregor fan in MMA and UFC. I'm not. I didn't like how he shot, you know, they strapped the rocket to his ass because he could talk. You know, he beat a couple guys younger, you know, a couple of years back in his career, and they... But it turns out, you know, he's a great fighter. I just always root for the guy that can't talk that big game that's just going to crack him one, like a Diaz. You know, I was ecstatic along with Kevin Matthews. We were probably the most happiest people on the planet to see McGregor lose. But in this realm, at first I was like all Floyd. I was. I said, this guy thinks he can go into a boxing ring and walk around and fight a fighter in boxing. So it's like, it's not MMA. You can't throw a kick. You can't take him down. It's straight up fists. And that's it. At first I was like, you know what? This is totally, unfortunately, Conor's walking into the lion's den right now. And Floyd, if you've watched his last 10 years of fighting, 10 years, I would say, he cherry picked all his opponents. It was never an opponent. And I'm not talking about, the dream fight that should have happened 10 years earlier with Manny Pacquiao. I'm talking about, you know, just he chips and ducks and chips and ducks, and he hasn't knocked anybody out in a decade. So it's like, okay, you're fast, you're defensive, and that's great. And I thought for sure that this was just playing into the hands of Floyd Money Mayweather to just steamroll this guy. However, after consideration and after watching the press conferences, and I know the press conferences mean nothing compared to the actual fight. And listening and talking to Kevin Matthews the other night in Allentown about it, McGregor stands more of a puncher's chance here, I think. I truly think and believe that Conor McGregor can go into this fight and win. Now, keep in mind, if you watch Conor fight, and if, you know, unfortunately, if you're not into this fight, you turn me off. I don't know. It's what I want to talk about. It's relevant right now. If you watch Conor fight, he waits for somebody to come inside, and he's a counterpuncher. So the guys that are backing out, who, like Mayweather, is a punch and duck. So if you're looking, right, I know this might be over some people's heads, but just picture this. You're throwing a punch, a right cross, I don't know, whatever, an uppercut. You have to come inside. The only way you're going to reach your opponent is if you lean in to get him. And when you're leaning back, that's a great chance for the expert at counterpunching, like a Conor McGregor, to tee off. And it might just happen. You know, and the Vegas odds have gone down a little bit. When this fight was announced, it was like, oh my God, you got to bet like fucking 30 grand on Mayweather to win $100. You know what I mean? It was insane. But now that as people are analyzing this and they're seeing this, the hype is real, folks. I like at first, and there's a couple of my friends who consider it just like this circus attraction, but it really is. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. They're going at each other and they're throwing blows at each other verbally. And I truly think eventually Conor is going to get in the head of Floyd Mayweather. And it's not just because he could talk shit. It's because he knows he has an actual chance to win this fight. So let's not get crazy. Let's not try to pretend that Floyd is going to go in there chip and duck, because when he ducks and he goes on the defense, that's when McGregor is at his best as a counter puncher. So let's pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, I went on record to say I'm rooting now for Conor McGregor. I can't stand what's happening here between the two of them because, like I said, not a fan of Conor McGregor at all in MMA and UFC, but I am more of a fan as MMA than I am boxing. So I guess this is MMA versus boxing fans. There's boxing fans out there. My brother, his crew of people, huge diehard boxing fans, watch every fucking fight known to man, okay? Me, I'm the MMA guy, and I watch all the fights that I possibly can. So, and I don't want to hear white versus black, because that's garbage. I'm sorry. That is total garbage. For Christ's sakes, the guy named himself Notorious Conor McGregor because after Biggie. So let's not get crazy here, okay? And he said he was black from the belly button down. I've said that too, countless amount of times. I've said that as a joke. I've said, I'm black on the waist down. You know what I mean? Like, that's just one of those things. And if anything, it's a compliment to black guys. You know, like that's a compliment. So people need to stop. I don't want this to turn into a race war. Unfortunately, it is 2017, and that's how the media is going to spin it. No matter what. No matter what, the media will spin it that way. It's already it's not even boxing versus MMA anymore. It's white and black. And it's so crystal clear that that's the media and that's the way you wanted to spin it. And they did it and they're succeeding at it. However, you know, true fans or true people that are embracing this as a mega fight are going to see that as that, a mega fight. And that's how I'm seeing it. But it is what it is. I digress. But I think the fight itself is going to be a little better than what people originally thought. And, you know, my money is, it's up there. I can't say McGregor's going to win the fight, but right now, he's got more than a puncher's chance. He's got more than that counter punch. He's going to go in there and he's going to, listen, the man's training just straight boxing now. There's no reason to grapple or choke out or whatever the fuck. No reason for that. Other announcement, not announcement, but the other topic I wanted to cover on is the second half season series of baseball. As I'm recording this, the Yankees are opening up against Boston tonight, and after a very, very, very sluggish ending of the first half of the season, you wonder if they could do anything. Today reported Michael Pineda might undergo Tommy John surgery, and that's unfortunate because that ends your season, and it probably won't bring you back until middle of next season. So Chance Adams could possibly get the call up. I'm hearing good things about this kid. We need to make a move. The Yankees will be buyers at the trade deadline instead of sellers. They will get something. But I like their odds of competing and staying in the wild card hunt. I don't know if they can rebound yet. It all depends on how they do against the Boston series this week. But other sport notable things right now that has come across. The Knicks, if you thought they weren't in disarray already, bringing on a guy from the Sacramento Kings who basically fucking didn't have a franchise last year. So I don't know what they're doing. But now Melo is in talks of staying. To me, I honestly think that it would be better off if they parted ways. I really do. I mean, it stinks, but it's the truth. I don't think they've done anything. They had that one great run, and that was in the shortened season. And I mean, that's it. So I'm recording right now and I'm getting voxes by Jay Silva. He keeps telling me to stay hungry. I guess you have to learn to laugh at yourself. I guess it's one of those things that just, you know, you have to laugh at yourself. You say certain things, but I mean, you really truly, I do believe in the feed me more mentality that Ryback has preached. And it's not just being a fanboy. It's just being a, you know, he's a motivator. So I'm motivated. And so I, you know, since recently taking on this role as a high school football coach, I've mentioned staying hungry and shit like that. So these guys are just on me constantly. But yeah, so thank you very much, Jay Silva, especially Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins. Thank you very much for all that you say every day, which is just, I don't know. It's too much sometimes, especially Raleigh. The motherfucker comments on everything I post now to stay hungry. But those are my boys, and I'm really appreciative to talk to them on a daily regular. Even if I'm having a bad day, you know, they bring it up. They bring it up. So, like I said, follow me on all my social medias, Dave Sturch on Instagram and Twitter. I switched that up a little bit, trying to be a little bit more professional. But the Facebook remains the same, facebook.com/destruction101. facebook.com/DaveDestruction. You can follow me on Snapchat. I can't change that name. I tried. I don't know. Somebody wants to fill me in, whatchamacallit, on the old how to change your Snapchat name. I have no idea. But before we go, I'll get to your questions right now. First, we're going to start off with the question of the week from Raymond Sanchez. Obviously, we always call that the question of the week. He's a loyal listener, always giving me a great question every single week. This week, he touches on the super fight. Question of the week, who do you see winning the super fight between Connor and Floyd? And obviously, I talked a lot about that this episode. It's hard to pick a winner, per se. It's almost more of a situational thing. I think it's more... I want to go with, you know, if it goes the distance, 12 rounds, I love Mayweather to win by decision. Mayweather hasn't knocked anybody out in a decade, so I don't know if that's even a relatively possibility. I mean, in the UFC, you're fighting with less gloves. You're also avoiding kicks and knees and punches and elbows and all sorts of shit to the face and head. So you have to develop a chin. In McGregor's losses in the UFC, he is choked out. You know, he is tapped out. He has not been knocked out. So I don't see a Mayweather knockout. I think McGregor has more of a puncher's chance, more than a puncher's chance. I mean, some people are like, oh, he has that one shot, you never know. But I truly think that it's more than that now. So as this fight gets closer and as I watch some videos of training camp and see how he's moving around the ring, the boxing ring, have you... It'll be a different scenario. Tony from the Shining Wizard says, how strange is it that you're in charge of kids, an authority figure, dare I say, a role model? It's very strange. I did not expect this. I did not expect this role, being a paraprofessional in a classroom setting. I did not expect to be coaching high school football. I mean, it's all very surreal, and I'm enjoying the shit out of everything I'm doing right now. It's been one of those experiences where it's made me a better person. So all in all, is it strange? Yes. Did I ever see myself doing this? Not a shot, but it happened and I'm very happy about it. Jared Ross, what is your opinion of Zeke facing a possible suspension? Okay. Well, I heard, obviously, you know, everybody reads ESPN and listens to the NFL Network and all that other shit, but, I want to say the domestic violence thing that's kind of hovering over Zeke's head right now is a bunch of bullshit. He turned over his phone. You know, he had nothing to hide. He wasn't Tom Brady. He didn't destroy the fucking thing. I think his girlfriend was caught last year sending a text saying, let's get him. So if everybody tends to forget that because everybody hates the Cowboys. But there was evidence last year saying that the girlfriend was going to be a spiteful, bitter asshole. So, and recently just getting in a scuffle in a bar in Dallas. I mean, I think the kid just needs to go through the learning process of being an NFL star. I mean, I don't know if he knows how big he can be. So I think he needs to lay off the, uh, the booze, and I think he needs to just surround himself with guys like Jason Witten and not other kids. You know, he needs to grow up a lot faster. He's wearing the star in his helmet. That's a big, prestigious honor in the NFL. I don't care what team you are a fan of. You have to know that playing for the Dallas Cowboys, the spotlight's on you a lot more. It's just the way it is. It's just the NFL. Jeremy Thompson, my man from Truth and Confessions, what do you think classifies as a soap opera? And would you say WWE is pretty much one, I'm going to assume he said one of the longest running soap operas in television? 100%. Professional wrestling on television is a 3-hour and sometimes 2-hour and 3-hour pay-per-view soap opera. It is. There's acting, there's stories, there's emotions, there's all sorts of shit, and then there's fighting. There's fake fighting, not fake fighting in I can't say it's fake because I've done it, and it's not fake. And you've done it too, Jeremy. You were in training for a little bit, whether or not it worked out, it's okay. You know, it's not the, not the end of the world, but, it is a soap opera in a sense of there's a lot of drama and all this other shit, but, the physical aspect is real. So it is competitive to a certain extent. I always think that it is classified as a sport if it's competition. And technically, even though you know the outcome of a professional wrestling match, there's competition within your peers to compete to be better than the other guy. I mean, if there was no competition, it would make no sense. And there would, what's the point of doing all this? If you don't want to be the best, what are you doing? So hope that answers everybody's questions. There was actually a few more than I thought. Now, again, this has been a 2-part episode. I started recording this on Friday when I had more time. And I finished it up on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock right now, as it's going to be released tomorrow on Wednesday. As an update for you, things happen in professional wrestling, and you're not always going to get the utmost respect from everybody, and that's totally cool, and I'm okay with that. And I did not get a response again, and this is where it's not, I'm not, I refuse to take the high road when it comes to being mistreated, and that's exactly what happened. So without getting into detail, BBWF, I will not be there on Friday, so I will not be at Fibro Wrestling on Thursday or Friday. I will not be at BBWF in Edison. Things may change from here until then. I don't know. I'll update you guys all on that. And you know what? Listen, I did no wrong. You know, the only thing I can blame myself for in life, not just in professional wrestling, but in anything, I have a quick trigger finger. I get very upset very fast. When I feel like I'm mistreated or disrespected, I get pissed. And if Friday comes and goes and I'm not working for BBWF, then I'll talk about it next week on the podcast. But also, like I said, recording this at 10 o'clock at night on Tuesday, I did my my tryout. I did my tryout for the Brooklyn Nets, and I will get more into all that detail on the next episode of Destruction 101 because, hell, I need stuff to talk about. So, with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please follow me on all my social medias. I plugged them before. I'll plug them again. Instagram and Twitter at Dave Sturch. Facebook.com/DaveDestruction. Destruction 101. Snapchat, Dave Destruction 2. So follow me on all my social media. Make sure you guys follow the Shining Wizards, all of their shows, all their programming, along with B Plus Player Radio with Mark Adam Haggerty and his whole shebang of plethora of shows. Follow Gino Gotz on his show, social media. Thank you very much for that. And again, special thank you to Truth and Confessions, the sponsor and official sponsor of Destruction 101. Until next time, hello. Good day. Good successful day today. Until next time, guys, I will see you guys next week. Is over.
Listen up. It's never too late to change your luck. So don't let them steal your life.
Shine.